first start off by saying Happy Mother's Day to all the moms here. And I want you all to actually stand up. All the moms, please. All the moms. Everybody stand up. All the moms that are here, and let's give them all a big hand. We wish you Happy Mother's Day, and we ask God's blessings by the prayers of His Holy Mother to be with you always. It's a cool coincidence that on Mother's Day, this random gospel was the one that we are reading for the day. And it's the one where, the only gospel where Jesus actually uses imagery about motherhood, about when He's speaking about suffering and joy, He uses imagery about a mother bearing her child, and how during the process of labor, the mom goes through a lot, but then when she has the child, Jesus says she doesn't remember the pain that she went through the process of labor, and because of the joy that a child has been brought into this world. So the image of Jesus is more about joy than about the pain. And that's what the message of Christ is. Christ's message throughout the whole Gospels is a message of love and of hope for us. So that when we look at, for example, the cross, we don't look at the cross and just look at it and get sad always. We look at the cross as a symbol of our joy, as a symbol of our hope, because it was through the cross that Jesus gave us new life, that Jesus forgave our sins. It's through the church that Jesus Himself established that we have Jesus with us, Jesus who is the source of joy. That's why Jesus tells His apostles, don't be sad. You should only be sad if you put all of your hope in the things of this world. Because this world, if you put all your hope in it, will leave you empty. Because there are a lot of things that this world has to offer that don't bring true fulfillment to the human person. And it's the things that involve sin, the things that involve us only going after money, for example, or things that don't go beyond this world. Jesus never says that it's wrong to have these things or to enjoy being in this world, because it is very good to. But He says it's wrong to put all of our hope in them, because then we forget where our hope lies and where our joy ultimately lies, which is in Jesus, in God, who is outside of this world, who is eternal, and who gives us true joy and peace. And so Jesus came to this world to give us peace, because He knows that our hearts always want something more. And so Jesus came to give us that true joy and peace. But He went up to heaven, obviously. We know that. And so because He went up to heaven, that's why Jesus left us with His church. The church of Jesus, not just the physical building of the church, but the Catholic Church of Jesus Christ. All of the early church fathers and the spiritual writers, when they interpret the church that Jesus started, one of the images that is used for it is actually the image of a mother. The church gives birth to us through baptism. It's through the grace of Christ, through the life of God's, through God's life in our souls, that we begin the process of living in unity with God. And it begins at baptism, and throughout our whole life, just like a mother when she gives birth to a baby, the baby has to rely on the mother for everything, absolutely everything. The newborn baby cannot do anything without the mother. That's how God made it. That's how God made our physical life. That's how He also makes the spiritual life. He made it so that we rely on His grace. And His grace, His life in our souls, is given to us through His church. So the church is the instrument of God's grace. From all of the sacraments that we receive from the very beginning of our life to when we grow older, we receive the sacrament of confession when we fall into sin, and then we receive His body and blood in the Holy Eucharist so that we can have that full unity with Him. The whole life of the Christian is a life of unity with God. And it's through the Mother, our Church, that we have that unity with God. The Church, as a mother, is personified, is an example of the Church, is given to us in one specific person. And this person is also a mother, and it is the person of Mary. Mary gave birth to Christ. Mary gave this world Jesus through her yes to God. Through Mary's acceptance of God's will, Jesus came into this world. And He could have done it another way if He wanted to. But He chose to come through Mary. God's life in this world came through one woman. So that's why we ask Mary to pray for us. A lot of people think that Catholics worship Mary. We don't worship Mary because we know that everything in our lives is ordered toward God. And God is only deserving of worship because Mary is a human being. But she's a human being whom God chose to be an instrument to come into this world. And His grace that came into this world is still coming into our souls. And it is through the Virgin Mary. That's why when we pray, we ask Mary, Holy Mary, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. That's the only thing we ask her, by the way. When we say the Hail Mary, that's the only thing that we ask her, is just to pray for us. We ask her to pray for us, and we follow her example. And the Church, especially nowadays, really needs Mary, needs the example and the prayers of Mary. Our Church is being attacked, literally. We know it, our people back home for hundreds and hundreds of years have been being attacked for their faith. And there are people all throughout the world. We saw what happened in Sri Lanka on Easter. And all throughout the world, the faith is literally being attacked. But it's also being attacked through sin. From outside and even from within the Church. Unfortunately, we see on the news almost every day, there's a new story about sin within the Church. And so the Church is struggling. But when your mother struggles, when she goes through pain, you don't run away from your mother. You run to your mother so that you can be there for her. And the Church does have that human aspect. Although the Church has the divine aspect of God's grace and God's Holy Spirit guiding it, the Church also does have a human aspect. And that reveals itself in the sin that we all do, and especially also that we've seen a lot of the leaders of the Church do. So what does that mean for us? What can we do about that? I propose that we bring Mary into the picture, that we bring Mary into the center of our lives and ask her to pray for us and try to follow her example. One of the best ways that we can ask Mary to pray for us is to pray the Rosary. And I just want to say something short about the Rosary just to end this homily. That maybe a lot of Chaldeans think that the Rosary is only for old ladies. God bless them, and we ask them to keep on praying the Rosary and to keep on praying for us. But the Rosary is not just for old ladies. The Rosary is for everybody. The Rosary is the prayer where we meditate on the life of Christ from the perspective of His Holy Mother. What better way to think about Jesus than how His Holy Mother thought about Him? That's what the Rosary is. It's just meditating on the mysteries of the life of Christ. It's such a powerful prayer, and it is a weapon against evil. And so a strong recommendation would be for you all to start praying the Rosary every day. And I'm sure that if you find the time, or if you look at your schedule, you'll have time. I can guarantee you that. You could check, you could see where you can add. If it's not the Rosary, give some time to God every day. Gather the family together and bring Jesus into the house. The devil hates that, and God loves that, because God will not force Himself into our lives. God will wait for us to open the door to Him. And when we open the door to Him, that's how God will come and give His grace to us. And so on this Mother's Day, and every day actually, we ask Mary to keep us strong by her prayers and by her example. We follow her example as she was so close to Christ, and we pray that we can also have that closeness and that faith in Christ like she has.